As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Thanks very much, Jack. Hopefully I've got some slides on the screen. This is a little reminder that we're in our Meals with Jesus series, and we in this room are doing the same stuff as the kids in their groups. And the main point they'll be taking away from this is that Jesus is not just somebody to know about. He's not even just somebody to admire and perhaps try to copy. He's somebody to listen to. So if you see any of the kids afterwards and say, "What have you been learning about?" That's what they've been learning about. Now today I've got four questions that I want us to think about from that reading. And I'm going to dive straight in because there's a lot to cover. The first question is this. Martha welcomed Jesus. Have you? Verse 38 of our reading. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She welcomed him. Now today, some people welcome Jesus, and other people keep him at arm's length. You're here in church this morning, or you're watching online, so I'm guessing you're at least sympathetic to the Christian faith. But have you really welcomed Jesus? Or do you like to come along to church but really keep your distance? Something to think about. Now, this is actually a lesson that Luke, the guy who wrote this, wants us to learn. I didn't just make it up from the fact that Martha opened her home to Jesus, because welcoming Jesus or not is a bit of a theme in this part of Luke's gospel. This is in the previous chapter, Luke 9, verse 52. Jesus sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him, but the people there did not welcome him. After that, Jesus sent out 72 messengers to travel around and represent him and teach the gospel. And whether or not they were welcomed was important. Let me read to you a little bit from earlier in chapter 10. Jesus said, "When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.'" Okay, welcoming or not welcoming Jesus. Here are three thoughts about welcoming Jesus today. Firstly, welcoming Jesus today means welcoming his messengers and his message. Because obviously Jesus isn't physically strolling around outside and you can welcome him into your home, but Jesus' messengers are around. Jesus said to those original 72 messengers, "Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me." So welcome the messengers and the message. Welcome the master. Secondly, welcoming the message means more than just listening. Some of the kids and youth in the room have been applying for jobs and courses. And imagine if you got a letter saying, "Congratulations, you've been given a place on a course. You've been given a job. Just let us know if you want to accept." And you say, "Hey, that's great news." And then don't do anything. You haven't really accepted that message, have you? You haven't welcomed the message. So if you sit in church and think, "Hey, that's great news. Now I'm going to go and live my life however I like and just ignore that news," then you haven't really received the news. You haven't welcomed Jesus. And thirdly, welcoming Jesus is important. Jesus told those 72 messengers about a judgment day. Luke 10:10. "When you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe off our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day, for Sodom than for that town. He said, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. These are people who have had the opportunity to welcome Jesus, and they've said, no thanks, we'll keep you at arm's length. Jesus talks about a day in the future when that's going to come back to bite them. Now today, you have an opportunity to welcome Jesus. Think very carefully, am I going to do that? Or am I going to keep him at arm's length? Now I've read the warnings here about not welcoming him. But as the sermon goes on, I hope you'll see that actually there are lots of positives about why you should welcome Jesus, why it's a good thing, why he's a good person to have in your life. So that brings us on to our second question. Mary took responsibility for her spiritual life. Do you? We take lots of responsibility for our physical lives, don't we? Maybe many of us go to the gym. We probably try to eat healthily. But how much attention do we give to our spiritual lives? Here's Mary, verse 39. Martha had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now, back in the day, teachers sat at the feet of their revered teacher. I can't really imagine that happening today. Can you, with the students sitting at the feet of their teacher in secondary school or university? I think probably teachers now are a bit undervalued. Can I get an amen from some of the teachers in the room? But Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. In Acts 22, verse 3, the Apostle Paul said he studied under Gamaliel, or literally, he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, Gamaliel being a very famous rabbi of the day. And Mary studied at Jesus' feet. Now, by the way, on the 20th of December, 2022, the Taliban banned women from attending university in Afghanistan. That ban is still in place today. Our reading helps us to respond to that. In our reading today, Jesus defended Mary's right to study. And in fact, if you read Sarah Hoskins' magazine a couple of weeks ago, you'll know that usually when a student back in those days sat at the feet of a teacher, then that student themselves was training to be a teacher. So right from the start of the Christian faith, Jesus stood up for women's rights to education and made it clear that women have a vital teaching role in the church. And here at Christ Church, we're privileged to have lots of gifted female teachers. But girls, women, if studying the Bible in depth and teaching is not something you've thought about before, but you'd like to think about more, then come and chat to us, because we want to support you in that. Jesus stood up for women's rights to education. But back to the main point about Mary taking responsibility for her spiritual life. Mary and Martha both had a choice. The jobs were there to be done. Martha saw that and Mary saw that. Martha chose the work. Mary chose to learn from Jesus, which with hindsight kind of seems like a no-brainer. Because even if Jesus was only one of the most influential teachers the world has ever known, he's at your house, then why wouldn't you take the opportunity to learn from him? Even if you disagreed with everything he said, why wouldn't you do that? If he's also God incarnate and the creator of the universe and the one who invented comedy and humor, because that had to come from somewhere, why wouldn't you take the opportunity to learn from Jesus if he's in your house? It's a no-brainer. And yet we basically have the same opportunity every day and we miss it all the time. At the start of this week, I just returned from holiday and I had a long to-do list and I was like, oh man, I reckon what's happened before is I've worked through my to-do list and basically my time for prayer and Bible study just gets squeezed out. And I thought, I bet that happens this week. And then I thought, I'll just check online to see what passage I'm preaching on this Sunday. Oh no, okay, right. And so you'll be pleased to know I prayed a lot this week and didn't do any of my work. No, I'm only joking aside. I did pray, and there are people in this room still waiting for emails from me, so I do apologize. And all joking aside, we need to take responsibility for our spiritual lives. Hearing God's voice doesn't just happen. You have to sit at Jesus' feet, metaphorically, and listen. That might mean switching off some other voices for an hour or so. And I mean an hour or so. I imagine that Mary didn't sit at Jesus' feet for 5 minutes and then thought, great, I've had my time with Jesus for today. Now I wonder what's on TV. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to love reading. You don't even have to have a long attention span. I really don't. What you have to do to spend a lot of time at Jesus' feet is to love Jesus and want to be the best person you can be for his glory. Take responsibility for your spiritual life. Okay, here's a question we can all relate to. Martha got stressed. Do you? How many people hear this story and think, oh man, I'm just like Martha. I'm rushing about all over the place, stressed all the time. Verse 40, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. Doesn't that describe so many of us? Now, we see so much about stress and anxiety from those few words that I've just read. Firstly, wrong views of God cause stress. Martha was stressed because of all the preparations that had to be made. She had an important visitor and she had to serve him. But she had forgotten that Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. Now you'll be stressed if you see God as some aloof king and you've got to keep him happy by your serving. You'll be stressed if you see God as an overbearing parent, and maybe you're constantly trying to win his approval. You'll be stressed if God to you is a taskmaster, a perfectionist as well. But those views of God are wrong. Jesus came to the house ready to give, not to receive. And today, he is more ready to give than we are willing to ask for him to give. He doesn't need to receive anything from us. God is good. I'm going to say more about God's goodness later. But here's the second thing about stress and anxiety. Expectations cause stress. Mary pretty much broke every cultural expectation by sitting at Jesus' feet that day. In that culture, it was expected that women would be in the kitchen and the men would be learning at the feet of Jesus. I'm sure that Martha felt the pressure of those cultural expectations. And I reckon that's partly why she was so stressed and anxious. But Jesus said Mary had done the right thing. Now, our culture places all sorts of expectations on us. Tim reminded us at the beginning that we are expected in this day and age to live a fast-paced life. We're expected to be busy. We're expected to be efficient. We're expected to change and to embrace change and to push for change. It's a fast-changing world. You know, we can all remember times when mobile phones didn't exist. It changes fast. Some things need to change, but there's a lot of pressure on us to accept change and to change. There's an expectation to look very together, like we've got it all sorted, isn't there? And many of those expectations, I'm sure, have us all rushing around like Martha, trying to keep up. And individuals, we all know, place expectations on us that are sometimes a heavy burden to bear. Expectations cause stress. Now, here's the thing. Spending time with Jesus can actually overturn a lot of those expectations and help us to see a better way. That's what Mary found. Thirdly, stress can lead to bitterness. You can really hear the bitterness in Martha's request. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? That's bitter, isn't it? It's quite normal for stress and anxiety to lead to bitterness and anger. This is one of the great strengths of modern counseling. A modern counselor can help you to connect dots. If you are angry, if you are bitter and resentful, then going to a counselor can help you connect dots and say, well, actually, it's because you feel anxious about this. It's because you feel helpless about this, and the anger is expressing itself in something else. That's a great strength of modern counseling, because it's really hard to diagnose ourselves. If you look at Martha, she was cross with who? Shout them out. Mary, she was also kind of cross with Jesus, yeah. So in other words, she wasn't the problem, they were the problem. But as we can see quite clearly, they were not the problem. Martha had a problem. It's really difficult to diagnose ourselves. It's also really hard for us to admit that the things we're angry and bitter about might not actually be the problem, and the problem might be us. Because in a way, in a twisted way, we kind of think we're right about being angry about a certain thing. Sometimes it's right to be angry. I'm not saying it's not. But sometimes it isn't. Stress can lead to bitterness. Stress damages relationships. Martha was a good person, and I've already said she is a model for us because she welcomed Jesus. But Martha's anxiety and stress damaged two relationships here. She was angry with God, and she felt let down by her sister. I know that many of us in this room, myself included, have experienced anger with God when we've been placed under huge strain. Martha said, Lord, don't you care? Funnily enough, I was reading the Bible with one of our young people earlier this week, and today we were reading the story of Jesus on the lake. He's asleep, and there's a storm, and the disciples say to Jesus, Lord, don't you care if we die? It's the same words. Don't you care, Lord? When we're under a huge amount of strain, the first thing that can come to our mind is, Lord, don't you care? We naturally do it, but it is counterproductive to get angry with God about these things. In the good times, we're often very happy to accept that life is difficult for them over there. But as soon as life is difficult for us over here and the strain is weighing down, our natural response is to be angry with God. And we feel let down by others. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? When you're angry with others, maybe at church, at work, at home, spend time with Jesus. And you can ask him, how does my mental health, to use the modern term, how is that affecting my relationships? Am I right to be angry? Fifthly, stress and anxiety are inherently lonely. Martha said, my sister has left me to do the work by myself. In the Greek, the word alone is put right at the start of the sentence for emphasis. So Martha actually says, my sister alone has left me to do all the work by myself. Now, was Martha alone? No, her sister who loved her was right there. She had a special guest in the house who cared about her. She wasn't alone. But in her anxiety and stress, it seemed that nobody else cared. Stress and anxiety are inherently a very lonely place to be. Again, as an antidote, we need to drop the tasks and join Mary at the feet of Jesus. Sixthly, this will be the last one. There's quite a few, but stress can make us lose perspective. Martha was stressed because she was hosting a guest and there was a lot to do. Jesus, the guest, was as cool as a cucumber. But right at the start of our reading, it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way. Somebody tell me, where were they on their way to? Jerusalem. What was going to happen to Jesus when he got to Jerusalem? Killed, yeah. Anyone else? I can give you a list. He was going to be betrayed by one of his closest friends. He was going to be wrongfully arrested. He was going to be wrongfully convicted in a sham court. He was going to be mocked by soldiers, then beaten up and tortured by those same soldiers, and then he was going to be crucified and die on a Roman cross. Who has more right to be stressed? Jesus knew that was going to happen to him. Sometimes, like Martha, we stress over nothing. Now, I know that some of you do have really serious situations in your life, life and death situations, and many of you are feeling the weight of those things. Now, I'm not making light of that, and neither am I saying it's wrong to be stressed. There would come a time when Jesus was stressed. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was stressed. It's not wrong to feel the weight of sadness and uncertainty and grief and even fear. But sometimes we feel all of those things about nothing, don't we? And we need to get to the feet of Jesus to get everything into its proper perspective. Last question. Mary and Martha experienced Jesus' love. Have you? Let's think about Martha, first of all. Verse 41. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. You can feel the warmth and affection in his response, can't you? Now, we make some mistakes that deserve a telling off from God. But we make some mistakes, many mistakes, just because we are worn out and we are not as wise as we should be. And if that's you and you're waiting for God to give you a slap on the wrist and tell you off, then learn from Jesus' response to Martha. He's full of warmth and affection towards you. And Jesus knows that you might be worried and troubled about many things. We're human, we're emotional, that's how God's made us. And that's how he loves us. Listen to something else I love about Jesus' response. He says, few things are needed, or indeed only one. Your Bible might just say, but one thing is necessary. Meaning is the same. Now, to say few things are needed, indeed only one, is a very kind of ancient Jewish way of speaking. You might remember in the Proverbs, it says things like, six things are needed. Indeed, seven things are needed. It doesn't mean he's written the list and he thought, oh man, I've forgotten one, I could better add one on. It's like six things, indeed seven, draws attention to the seventh, and it draws attention to the completeness of the list. Seven things, wow. When it says few things are needed, indeed only one, it's drawing attention to that one thing and showing us how unique it is. And this is what I love. After that big build-up, few things, indeed only one, Jesus doesn't even tell Martha what that one thing is. Instead, he lets her see it because she sees Mary at Jesus' feet. Now, that changes the tone so much. A telling off would be, you are doing this, you should be doing that. But Jesus says to Martha, you are worried and anxious. Look, here's a better way. I love that. So let's turn our attention to Mary now. Verse 42. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. There is security at the feet of Jesus. I imagine that Mary still ate that day, even though she hadn't been in the kitchen. So time with God is never wasted. It's not like if you spend time praying, you're going to starve. It's really significant that this story is followed by a certain teaching. Someone look down in your Bibles if you've got the NIV. What's the next heading after our reading? Jesus teaches about prayer. It's really significant that that follows our reading today. Let me read you some of what it says a bit later on. Jesus said, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Some of us have worn ourselves out trying to knock down the door. And Jesus wants us just to knock on the door. And then he can open it for us. Now, that's not to say we get everything we want straight away. There came a time when Mary and Martha asked Jesus for something and they didn't get it. Their brother was dying, and they said to Jesus, come along and help us. Our brother is dying. And Jesus didn't come, and their brother died, their brother Lazarus. But most of you know how that story goes. And if you don't, ask me afterwards. Mary and Martha weren't wasting time at the feet of Jesus. And when they ask for something and they didn't get it, it's because Jesus had something better in mind for them. There is security at the feet of Jesus in this life and for the next. Let me leave it there and pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your great love shown to us in how you treated Mary and Martha. Thank you that you treat us the same today. And I pray that every one of us in this room will come to experience that love. Amen.